Though this, I think, is the strangest Holy Week and Easter of my ministry, it's not the most difficult. It's even maybe third in line of difficult Easters for me, maybe fourth or fifth. But it is, hands down, the strangest. I'm preaching in front of an empty church to a camera, and I'm preaching to people gathered out there in heart and mind, and I know and claim right now that we are all here, my brothers and sisters, and that no disease, no pandemic, no physical distance, no temporal pleat between this recording and the time in which you will worship with us can separate us from God's love, nor from one another. We are truly one in the risen Lord. 14 years ago or so was the most difficult Easter for me, when at 4 o'clock on Easter morning, with my alarm set to wake up and finish my sermon for 5:30, shame on me, I was jolted out of sleep by the ringing phone. It was a dear parishioner weeping with the news that her 19-year-old son had died that night in a senseless single car accident, a stupid accident. I'd known this boy since he was 5. He was a vital, if often frustrating, member of our Sunday school and youth community. He was full of life, sometimes disruptive of a group, charming, smart as a whip. He could be difficult. He could be magic. And he was beloved of his friends, of his family, of us all. And the worst thing in the world had just happened to his parents and little sister. Somehow, a few hours later, I preached something about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. I was only conscious that long morning of holding that great, great sadness in me as I sought to proclaim a God who in Jesus had traversed the road of death, a God who reached into the very depth of decay and darkness and despair and fear and pulled life out of the thrall of the tomb. Somehow that morning, with the help of my colleagues and a very few people who knew what had happened, we managed to unveil a glorious Easter celebration to a twice-packed church. And then we gathered the youth group and broke their hearts. That was my hardest Easter, and I still cry remembering. The Easter story is not primarily a happy narrative of the recurring spring, of flowers returning and trees budding out. Though especially this strange year, I am so grateful for the emerging lush beauty of the Connecticut spring. It's the main thing holding off my panic and heart sickness this year, it and Easter. The Easter story is so much more. It is the organizing focus of the entire Christian enterprise. It is the still point at the center of the story, of the universe, really. The first Easter happened once, and it reaches all time. And our celebrations here and throughout the world pull us into that eternal center, that singular truth that God wills life, that God, in fact, births new life from the very depth of our human despair and death. It is the center of the Christian church's proclamation and life. Though many other gospel stories of Jesus' life was written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John made it into the Bible, made it into the continuing proclamation of the church, because they, all four of them, tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. On that, they agree. It is the most important thing. Now, the way each of these gospel writers tells the story has its own nuances and emphases. Mary Magdalene is in them all. And the fear and unbelief of all the disciples in their heartbreak is also in them all. John, I think, that we just heard, tells Mary's story best. And we have it here illuminated in the St. John's Bible. There Mary is, coming to the tomb with spices to wrap the body for its burial. And she finds it empty, like her heart. There she is, telling the others so that Peter can see the empty grave and the other disciple. There she is, lingering, weeping as they leave her to go back to the upper room. And there she is, beside herself with sadness, when the sound of a footfall draws her attention. She doesn't recognize Jesus in her sadness. She likely can barely see through her tears. And then he calls her name, and she sees who it is. She sees him risen, alive, though also changed, alive with an entirely different sort of life force than she had experienced in him before. That's why Easter is the center of the truly Christian experience, and really the one that matters. In the resurrection, God reveals an eternal reality always at the heart of the universe. An eternal reality always present. Here is Sister Joan Chittister, a wonderful Roman Catholic nun and theologian, on the resurrection. She writes, "The resurrection of Jesus is not about revivification of an old life. It is about experiencing a new kind of life entirely. And no one knows how it happened. We only know that it happened. They saw him and heard him and walked with him and felt his presence in their lives. What else is there to know in a world where the wondrous has become commonplace? We see people and hear people and experience people long gone or far away and do it routinely and take it all for granted. But here, an entire community began to experience Jesus differently." She writes, "Resurrection testifies to the metamorphosis of the Jesus of history to the Christ of faith. It is about the shift in people's perception of the Jesus of first century Nazareth to the Christ who galvanizes all time. It is about the incarnation of the Jesus born in Bethlehem to the Jesus born in us. It designates the transformation of Jesus who rises from the dead in Jerusalem to the Jesus who rises, if we allow it, in us. The resurrection of Jesus is about coming to grips with the transformed and transforming of presence of Christ, then, now, and always. Once that happens, life is never the same. Life begins anew." That's Joan Chittister. The second most difficult Easter of my life happened just a handful of years after the worst. My whole life had been shattered. My soul was a sorrowful wasteland. My vocation as a priest pretty much blown away like the dust on a windy plain. I knew I had to get to church that Easter. And I knew that the joy of brass and bright flowers and soaring happy hymns was not where it was for me. I knew that that would break me further. So we were visiting my sister in Lincoln, Nebraska, and I dug around and found an Easter vigil service on the University of Nebraska campus and dragged myself there. My brother, sister-in-law, and niece came with me. They had been stalwart and kind and watchful of me in that terrible place in my life. The great vigil of Easter begins in the dark, and it tells the story of Israel's relationship with God, how God brought them through one catastrophe after another, how God abides, faithful, bringing new life, even and especially when all seems lost. And in my broken heart, sitting there trying to hope my way from darkness into light, feeling God trying to drag me from darkness into light, the smallest glimmer of that new life shone for an instant. Even a bit of new life, even the smallest reminder, is enough to raise one from the dead. For the brokenhearted Mary Magdalene, it begins by hearing her true name spoken. As another writer casts that moment, "Don't be afraid," says Jesus. "Far more can be mended than you know." And he helps her to stand up. End quote. I've been meditating on images of the resurrection this week as I prepared to preach this strange Easter. And one that sticks with me is a risen Jesus painted by the Renaissance painter Piero della Francesca. If you run a search for Piero della Francesca Resurrection, you will find it online. I printed one off that you can't possibly see, but I have it here as my own icon. There is an echo of this particular rendering in the resurrection window here at St. Luke's. The fresco and this window share a common iconographic language. But back to Piero. In this fresco, he depicts Jesus coming out of the tomb with the resurrection flag in his hand. Jesus nevertheless looks stunned, as though he can't quite fathom what is happening. His skin color still holds a tinge of the gray of death, but you can see that color is beginning to flush his skin again. His eyes are serious. They look as though he is stunned. They look to another world. You can see the wound in his side, the nail holes in his hands. He has one foot on the edge of the grave and is about to step out into a creation made entirely new by his resurrection. Everything radiates from that microsecond, eternity in an instant. My dear friends, we have been hearing much about how our lives will be utterly changed by the new reality of COVID-19. And indeed, much of life as we have known it will need to shift. But COVID-19 and all these changes, nor plague, nor pestilence, nor famine, are the core truths about this life. Jesus is risen, and God has trampled down death by dying and rising to eternity. It happened once, but it happened for all time, and that new life reaches down to us in our day. Easter is the thread which runs down the centuries, nay, down the millennia of created existence, that from destruction, God builds anew. From our soul's heart sickness, God makes us whole. From our deep sorrow, God pulls us into joy. Far more can be mended than we know. And right now, here is God, needle and thread in hand, sewing up the brokenness of our hearts. God with plane and lathe and glue and clamp, repairing the smashed table that held our lives. God harrowing the deepest sorrow of our lives and raising us with Jesus to a new life. To, in the words of Frederick Buechner, an understanding that existence has greater depths of beauty, mystery, and benediction than the wildest visionary has ever dared to dream. Christ our Lord has risen. And I say, he is risen indeed in our midst. Amen.